that Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world, they just disagree on how.
We're gonna get across that wasteland, and we're gonna do it together.
Fallout. All episodes available now on Prime Video.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
We gotta talk about Ezekiel Elliott. His holdout continues as he negotiates to be the highest paid running back in the NFL. In an interview with Maxim from last month, Zeke acknowledged that he can't control where he will play his entire career. But if it were up to him, he'd stay put in Dallas. Zeke said, quote, "I love playing for the Dallas Cowboys. I love the organization, my teammates. I do want to be a Cowboy for the rest of my life, and hopefully that's a possibility." But even Emmitt Smith, the greatest running back ever, ended up going to play a couple of years for another organization. So it's just the nature of the game, but I want to be a Dallas Cowboy for as long as I can. Shannon, how big of a factor will this statement be in his negotiations?
Skip, it might be a factor, but he understands. I can assure you, Joe Montana and Jerry Rice thought they would be 49ers forever. Bruce Smith thought he would be Buffalo Bill forever.
True.
Things don't. Emmitt Smith? Uh-huh. Hold on. The guy that has the most rushing yards in NFL history spent the last 2 years at another team. And the guy that replaced him, I bet you 25 people can't tell you the guy that replaced Emmitt Smith at running back for the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. I can because he went to Savannah State, Troy Hambrick. And after 1 year, after Julius Jones, mm-hmm. he got released, and guess where he went? He went to Arizona to back up Emmitt Smith again. So it just goes to show you and see what teams do when they find a guy that loves the game of football. And Zeke loved to play the game of football. I really, truly believe, Skip, he loved the game of football. And he loved the team that he plays for. They use that against him. And because Stephen and Jerry is trying to do, they're trying to like, oh, it's great to be a Cowboy. And Stephen is saying, you can make so much money from just being a Cowboy that once you're done, you got appearances and autograph signings. Mm-hmm. It's great to be a Cowboy. But Zeke says, I want my money. I want what I think I deserve. Mm-hmm. I think I deserve to be the highest paid running back, and I want to be compensated for that. Zeke also understands, Skip, this is his last chance. See, a lot of people, like quarterback Skip, they don't need to take a big bite of the apple. They can take a bunch of bites because they're going to get their money. They'll get one, two, three, and the way the medicine is going now and the way they protect the quarterback, they might get four bites of the apple. But the running back, he has to take one big bite. And he better get as big a chunk of that apple as he possibly can because he's not getting another big payday, Skip. We know that. Now,
we don't know it for a fact. Maybe he'll beat the system.
And get what? Another
big? By the odds. He might.
No, he might play longer, but he's not getting another $40, $50 million guaranteed contract. Mm-hmm. Not in that position.
Unless he becomes the Tom Brady of running backs.
It's not going to happen.
Okay.
Because they're already Skip, they're trying to find a way to devalue the position, even for a guy that's in his early 20s. Mm-hmm. You think they're going to give a guy in his late 20s, 30s that kind of money? Mm-hmm. Knowing that the collision, people say football is a contact sport. No, football is a collision sport. Mm. You collide with people. Those are car wrecks.
They are.
That you are involved in.
Emmitt used to say, I feel like I just had another car wreck Sunday when we talked.
Exactly. So, Skip, for me, I believe that Zeke, he really does want to be a Cowboy. He knows, Skip, he has an ideal situation. He has a relatively, as you mentioned, a relatively young offensive line. I don't think any of those top guys are over the age of 30. Tyron Smith, Travis Frederick, Zach Martin, mm-hmm. road grader, Lyle Collins. Mm-hmm. He has a young quarterback, Amari Cooper. All these guys are under the age of 30. So they get an opportunity to go forward. But Zeke, if he's smart, he doesn't let that play into this discussion. Mm-hmm. Don't let them appeal to your emotion. Yeah, we want you to be a cow. How many times you've heard organizations, oh, yeah, we want him to be a cow, this for life. We want, and the next thing you know, the guy up out of there. Either they traded him or they released him. Mm. No. Mm. So, Zeke, be smart. I do with Skip. If Zeke is smart, he won't let them play on his emotion about this Cowboy stuff because you have to realize there are 31 other teams. And don't let them play to that emotion like with Zeke. You know, Cowboys, that you know, you at the biggest stage. Mm-hmm. Give me my money, and then we'll talk. Mm.
So I hear everything you just said, but I promise you, Jerry Jones is banking on that comment from Zeke mm-hmm. Elliott, because I believe that came straight from his heart, and I believe Jerry believes that came straight mm-hmm. from his heart, because now Ezekiel Elliott has been a Cowboy in Dallas, Texas, for 3 years, going on four. Mm-hmm. And he knows what it feels like to be a star in that city. That city loves its Cowboys. Again, this is always objective, subjective to me, mm-hmm. where I don't know. Does Denver love its Broncos more than Dallas loves its Cowboys? I don't know. It's a close call. There are other cities. Mm-hmm. Do Philly fans love their Eagles more than Dallas fans love their Cowboys?
Or I'm Steelers just, love their Steelers fans.
You could keep going.
Green Bay.
Okay, from all of my travels mm-hmm. in the time I spent in Dallas, I believe the adoration, the hero worship, is the strongest in Dallas for the Cowboys. Everybody wants
right.
a piece of a Cowboy, wants to associate with a Cowboy, wants to say, I know a Cowboy, I bought a drink for a Cowboy, I did this for a Cowboy, I'm friends with so-and-so. Okay?
Skip, you don't realize how many people in my hometown of Glenville, Georgia, always tell my sister, tell Shannon, lay off my Cowboys.
Really?
Tell Shannon, lay off my Cowboys.
That's funny.
Skip. It's nothing like it. I mean, look, I'm like, really? The Cowboys?
That's good.
But they love them.
For 13 years, I lived in Manhattan. And for 10 of those years, Ernestine and I on Saturdays would walk down 8th Avenue toward 42nd Street to go to the movies. And we would see right and left metallic blue jerseys. Huh. We would see Dak or Zeke or going way back to whoever the stars at
right.
the time.
Right.
We'd see a lot of Aikman jerseys,
right.
Emmitt jerseys, Michael Irvin jerseys, which became Dez Bryant
right.
jerseys. They're everywhere. And I always ask people when we're out, what happened? You grew up in New York, but you became a Cowboy fan? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the colors, man. It's
people
something
always
about,
say
I know,
that.
It's the
yeah.
colors.
Even Derek D.
They do.
At security at the front.
Yeah.
He's born and raised in New York.
Him.
Goes back when his time's up yeah. a month.
Yeah.
He loved the Cowboys.
He's Bronx, right?
Yeah. Loved the Cowboys.
Okay. And Tex Schramm, who was the sort of the architect of the Dallas Cowboys, may he rest in peace, once told me that I handpicked the jerseys and I would test them on a TV. I had a TV camera brought into my office to test mm-hmm. how does the blue look until we get just the right shade of blue that is the most appealing to your eye. And even now, but I told Ernestine the other night when the Cowboys came on in their third exhibition game, I looked up at the jerseys, I see that, and I say, God, that's pleasing to my eye. It just looks good. Like, here they, and he knows what it feels like to wear that jersey. It's fun, man.
Skip, it is. And all the trips that I went to the mm-hmm. Pro Bowl, the most popular helmet, everybody wanted to trade with the Cowboy.
Wow.
They wanted that Cowboy helmet. They wanted it.
So it's in his blood, which is why Jerry's going to bank on he'll give me a small, some discount
right.
because he wants to not only do that, but he wants to do it with Dak and with Amari and with that offensive line and with the defense because it's a close football team, close-knit. They all sort of came of age together. And they're on the verge. Emmitt's situation was completely different than this because Emmitt and company had just won the Super Bowl 1 year ahead of schedule,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
It would be like last year's team had broken through in a shock to you and me and won the Super Bowl.
Right.
If that had happened, we'd be having a whole different conversation because he'd say, I got my ring, man. Right. You know, now I need my money.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't have a ring yet. They're on the verge. They have a chance. And yet his best friend is the quarterback. Well, that's a powerful union right there, because you don't usually find the running back and the quarterback are best friends.
Right.
So Jerry's got that going for him. So to me, Jerry's sitting back, stroking his chin, thinking, okay, we'll start on Labor Day, and we're going to pull this off because I'm going to give him some caveat. I'll either give him a little more salary, average salary, than
right.
Todd Gurley
or
gets.
Or a bigger bonus.
Maybe a bigger bonus up front, or maybe, and more doubtfully, the guaranteed money.
Yeah, I think the thing is, Skip, is that for me, I wanted to be a Bronco, Skip, my entire career. But when I was a free agent at the end of the 99 season, 2000, Skip, Mike made me an offer he knew I wouldn't take, even though he knew how much I loved the Broncos, Skip, because for me, I was a seventh round draft pick. They believed in me. They gave me the opportunity. Mm-hmm. So I said, you know what? That's what happens sometimes. When someone gives you an opportunity, you feel like you're indebted to them, Skip. Sure. I felt like I was indebted to the Broncos. Yeah. So I was going to be willing to take less money as opposed to go somewhere else. But he made me an offer. He knew I would turn it down. So what did I do? I turned it down. Mm. Thankfully, I got an opportunity to come back. Mr. B called me and says, you deserve to finish your career here. Mm. And that mistake that was made 2 years ago won't happen again. Mm. I want you back.
Mm.
So, Skip, we all want to. I don't really think anybody goes in and says, you know what? I just want to spend 5 years here, 6 years here, and then I want to go somewhere else.
Sure.
Skip, you become a pillar in the community. Mm-hmm. You know your way around. If you're married, you have kids, your kids are in school, you don't want to uproot that.
Mm-mm.
But sometimes, you know, the money they make you an offer somewhere else, or the money that you're seeking mm-hmm. is not what you think it should be, and it makes it difficult. But if Jerry can get close to the number that Zeke is asking, but there's still no guarantee that he finishes his career there, because you know these contracts. That's not baseball or basketball
nope.
contracts.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Where you look, okay.
A little different.
Yeah.
Okay. This will get.
You're hoping. You get nervous, Kim.
You said
I see
Labor
it.
Day. We could ask you
Labor
if you're
Day.
Starting
we start.
To
yes,
shake
you
a
can
little?
Ask me next. Is it next Monday?
Monday.
Yeah.
We've
Monday
got a
coming.
Couple more days, Shannon, and then we can really get on this guy. No
mercy. I'm Jenny Taft. Thank you for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. But before the show moves along, here's a quick word from our friends over at the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. The NFL season is back, and that means one thing. It's fantasy football time. The Fantasy Footballers Podcast is the most downloaded fantasy football podcast for a reason. It has the most accurate rankings as measured by fantasy pros, so you have a leg up on your competition. Want to dominate the waiver wire in your league? Be the first to find those hidden sleepers or grab those breakout stars before everyone else? Then you should listen to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast to get the most up-to-date intel to win your matchup each week. Subscribe right now to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. You can also visit them on the web at thefantasyfootballers.com. Subscribe now and dominate your fantasy football league. No mercy.
Well, how about this? Another list and no Dak Prescott. Mm. A panel of NFL experts at ESPN rated the league's top 100 players for the upcoming season. There were six Cowboys that cracked that list, but Dak was not one of them. Dak was also left off the NFL Network's top 100 players list this offseason. We're joined now by former All-Pro cornerback Antonio Cromartie. Yeah. Good to
Hello.
See you.
Good morning. Here good morning.
Got to get your take
good
on
morning.
This.
Sit over here and listen.
Yeah. sit back, Skip.
Yep.
I want to hear what Antonio has to say. Yep. Does Dak deserve to be on this top 100 list?
There's 11 quarterbacks on the list. Two of them that shouldn't be on there.
Uh-huh.
And I do believe that Dak should be on the top 100 list.
Okay.
And that's just my
Finally.
Opinion. I think if you're going to add Jared Goff and Cam Newton at the end, I think Dak Prescott deserves to be on there. And that's just overall what he's done. Now, if they're basing this off if Zeke's going to be there or somebody else is going to be there, then you still got to throw that in one, because I still think he's had, so far earlier in the career, has a better career than Cam Newton and Jared Goff.
And Cam was 94th on the list, so he barely sneaked in at the back end,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but this, okay. this skip is for reaction. Everybody want reaction out of this list.
Okay.
That's all it is.
And you said two quarterbacks do not belong on the list?
I feel Jared Goff shouldn't be on there.
Really? And he's 48?
He's pretty high up there,
yeah.
Okay, I'll buy that. I'm with you.
I bet you would buy it.
Yeah,
but I ain't selling.
And who else should not be?
I don't think Cam Newton should be on
there. Really? You don't think he should?
No, and it's a lot of slates on there. A lot of people that got slated on that, that's on that list. That shouldn't be there.
Why not Cam?
I just don't see it. I just don't see him being a top 100 player after with everybody that's on there.
I mean, it just seems like yesterday he was the MVP of this league. It was 2015. Mm-hmm. Okay, but it just.
A while ago now.
Okay, I guess so. And I know he's declined each of the years.
A lot of injuries.
A lot of injuries. Okay.
You know, had a lot of injuries. I don't see the same Cam Newton, the MVP Cam Newton. I don't see it. I think Dak has outplayed him at that point right now. Okay. Since he's came into the NFL.
But like you told me, Skip, head-to-head, what happened last year? That's what you base everything on. You say Dak Prescott went head-to-head with Carson Wentz and beat him twice. Yep. Okay, head-to-head, what did Cam Newton do? Now, they had a most wanted, a top 100 most wanted. Yo guy can't make a top 100 most wanted list. Mm. So, in other words, what they're telling you, Skip, of a
no, on this show, he'd be number one on the most wanted.
Oh, right? My gosh. I don't know about that now. I don't know about that now.
Skip, how many lists must they put out that your guy can't make it before you start to come to the realization? That epiphany, you don't skip the realization when you realize that, you know what? I was wrong about this one. Hmm. It's okay, Skip. You've been right so many times. You're just wrong about this one.
How right was I last year?
About what?
About Dak Prescott.
Skip.
Who won the division last year?
Skip.
Who won a playoff game last year?
Dak, I mean, all these things. They had him as the 17th rated quarterback. Now, what we're going to do, what we're about to do, Crow, is that we're about to come out with a 150. So that way we can get him on the list. Cause it's kind of hard keep having lists where you don't have the most valuable, the most known sports franchise in all the world, and it's quarterbacks not on it. But what we might do is that we might have a top 50 Cowboys players currently. He owned that one. But if you're talking about top 50 players in the NFL, Skip Bayless, 32 teams, 46 players, not counting practice squads, he ain't one. Now, what part about that don't you get?
What is the most valuable position in the sport of football? You guys know the sport pretty well.
Yeah, quarterback.
Thank you. Okay, so how can he not be on a list that features 18 receivers?
Yeah.
You spent your life, your career, you got paid to stop ultimately the quarterback. Yeah. Again, in front of you was a receiver, but the name of the game is really to stop the quarterback. Mm-hmm. So, if the quarterback is hot, if he is reading ahead of your eyes, he can just beat you consistently. Like, there's nothing you do, especially if he has time. But again, you can't tell me there are 18 receivers in this league more valuable than Dak is as a quarterback in this league.
Yeah,
well, wrong.
I don't think Amari should have been on the list. If you're gonna put it on there, I think you should have put Dak on there.
Okay, good.
Because I'm just saying from a point of you have if you take two players from every team, that's 64 teams. I think Amari was ranked number 54 on the list. So he's the two best players on that team.
Yeah, okay.
So to me, the best players on the team in Dallas are, to me, is going to be Dak and Zeke.
Hold on.
So are you trying to tell me? No, we're not talking about value. When they say players, they say evaluating the player on ability, not value to the team. Dak ain't better than Tyron Smith.
Yes,
he ain't
is.
Better than Zach Martin.
It's just because by virtue of his position.
No. See, you tried to see again. He make it about value. No, it's best, not the most valuable.
Is he more
most
valuable
important.
Than DeMarcus Lawrence?
No, Skip.
DeMarcus Lawrence is number 30 on this list.
Yeah, Skip. The position is more valuable, but is he a better player? No.
Do you think Jerry Jones thinks that Dak is the seventh most valuable Dallas Cowboy? Because that's what this list is saying right now.
If Jerry Jones thought Dak was the fifth most valuable player in the NFL, he'd have done got his $34 million and we'd be sitting at home.
No, Jerry's a smarter businessman than the Eagles are because they just try to validate their own pride. We traded up to get Carson Wentz, so we're going to show you. We're going to give him the most guaranteed money in all of pro football.
Should.
Really? Way to go. Good luck to you.
Good luck to you.
Yeah.
Because you got a
I'm good because I've got rocket launch here. I got rocket fuel for Dak Prescott.
Let that sink in for a second. He was 31st.
Yep.
Okay, he got the most guaranteed money, got $75 million to sign. Your guy is about to get the exact same money, maybe more, and he can't make the list.
Well, who cares about the list? I care about who's going to win the Super Bowl first.
Your team, Skip, stop this now. Mm-hmm. You've been going back and forth with this for a quarter century now. Mm-hmm. Time out.
He said who's going to win the Super Bowl first?
Yeah.
Well, Carson Wentz already has one, don't he?
Yeah, we got one.
He's got nothing.
I know. He has
how
one, right?
How many snaps did he play?
It doesn't matter. He has one.
Oh, he's got a ring.
But you said who's going to win a Super Bowl first.
He's got a cubic zirconia ring.
You said who's going to win a Super Bowl first. Who has Super Bowl ring?
Huh? You actually think.
Well, he did nothing.
He would have.
He played no snaps.
He would have won
he's
the Super Bowl.
He's never played in the playoffs
Skill.
Before.
Oh, stop. Come on, let's be real.
He would not have won that.
Walking to him.
Yeah.
Come on.
Nick Foles was the magic man. No. Did you see what he did to Jenny's Vikings the Sunday or two Sundays before?
Well, they had Case Keenum.
Yeah.
Case Keenum, who had the flukiest season in NFL history.
Did he have the flukiest game in the Minnesota Miracle game?
Oh, yeah, that was fluky.
I don't think so.
The guy dug his head, and the guy and Stephon Diggs went around him. Okay.
Speaking of blind experts, how did everybody how did everybody miss what happened the last 10 games of last football season? Because the essence of this list, the criteria is we're going to predict greatness for this year. We're going to rank, this is the order of players, how great they could be, again, at different positions. So you got apples, oranges, pears, bananas, and peaches on this list, right?
Yeah.
So we're going to rank. Who showed you coming off last year that they could be even greater next year?
Yes.
What did Dak Prescott do over the last 10 games? His team went 8-2 because he finally got a legit, valid number one receiver. And he took off. And I'm with you. Does Amari belong? Is he a top? No. But he's got connection. He's got rapport. He's got chemistry with Dak. They love each other, and they connected right away in ways Dak never connected with Dez Bryant.
Well, Skip, can you ask me, if you can just answer me this. Why is it that when they got Amari Cooper, Zeke led the league in rushing, and he was 22 rushes clear of every other running back in the NFL, even though he missed a game? Now, that's with the addition of Amari Cooper.
They were a really good offense, which is how they won 8 out of 10 games and a playoff game.
They were a really good running team.
No, they were a really good throwing team because over the last 10 games, who led the NFL in completions? Who led?
Who led the league in rushing?
Dak Prescott.
Who led the league in rushing?
The guy he says can't throw. He says he can't throw. He led the NFL in completions over a 10-game span. How can you defend yourself on that?
This is what happens. Amari helped. But what happens is that we got to make a decision. You see, the thing was that they don't fear Dak like they do Zeke. So they're willing to drop that safety down to shut the run off.
Maybe they're starting to wise up this year. Maybe they will see it the other way.
That safety coming down.
Okay.
If you cannot stop the Cowboys rushing attack, you can't beat them. You can't beat them, Skip.
Who led the NFL in catchable passes, says Pro Football Focus, over the last 10 games last year? Dak Prescott. Who was third in air distance, the distance the pass traveled over the last 10 games? It was Dak Prescott. So you say Dak and Dunk, and he's going bombs away. Well, okay. And you will not accept it.
The
stats scream wrong again,
how
Shannon.
How about this stat, that Dak Prescott had the lowest completion percentage throwing in the tight windows? What are we going to do about that?
Over what? Over the whole year?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm just talking about once he got one receiver. Rocket launch.
Well, I just want to take Pat Mahomes. I just want to take his 12 best games. I'm not going to do
I don't care about Pat Mahomes. He's way overrated at what is he like?
Whoa.
Two.
You ought to be
whoa, you should stop.
You ought to be
stop yourself. That. Whoa.
What's he done?
What has he done?
He a one-year wonder under Andy Reid?
The only thing we wonder when Dak going to be able to play. That's what we wonder.
You remember the quote that was in The Athletic about that offense?
You know
Andy
what?
What's his name back in Philadelphia thinks he should be in the Hall of Fame? Donovan.
You know what, Skip? I love how you do a very good job. You had a great memory. I love how you remember what they said in Athletic about my homeboy. Mm-hmm. But what did they say about Dak in the Athletic? Everything must be perfect. Mom must make an apple pie, set it outside the window. It smells. It's a nice, nice autumn afternoon. Everything must be perfect for your guy to succeed.
No,
my homeboy don't need everything to be perfect.
The first quote they used in that ranking was, he just might have a big enough year that you'll be thinking about him as a number one next year.
You know, we're talking about next year. We're talking about this year right now. We're talking about right now.
Right now.
100 people. He can't get on the most wanted. Oh, nice self.
Antonio. That's
bad. Skip, you know you bad.
You know what?
When you so bad you can't get on the top 100, you really bad, Skip.
You are becoming harsh. Number one on the most wanted list in Cowboy Nation.
You are. And everyone, even in your hometown, yeah. is.
I mean, but how long? Well, he has on Dallas Cowboys colors.
You, I started this show.
You look good in the Dallas Cowboys colors.
You know what?
You had a choice.
Every day.
Every day.
Our ratings would go through the roof if you wore that every day.
As a matter of fact, Autumn picked this out.
Nah,
maybe
you look, good in
well.
Them Cowboys colors.
Yeah. I don't know anything about
All right, you're going to come back later, Antonio. Yeah. Thanks for joining us. We needed that take. But next up, why doesn't Tom Brady get superstar treatment? He should. Mm. You think he deserves it, right? We'll go there next. No mercy. In a promo for an upcoming episode of HBO's The Shop, Uninterrupted, Rob Gronkowski said that no one gets treated like a superstar in the Patriots organization. When asked if that also applied to Tom Brady, Gronk answered, not even Brady. So Shannon, what do you make of Gronk's comments?
Skip, we've heard a lot of players say this before, but to hear it come from Gronk, Skip, I believe once it's all said and done, Gronk will be the second greatest Patriot player ever drafted. Hmm. To hear him say that, because if you think about Tom, the only place Tom does not get superstar treatment is at work. Now, obviously, at home, he doesn't expect to get superstar treatment. His wife writhes and, oh, Tommy, you know, you don't expect that at home. But everywhere...
She's arguably a bigger star than he is.
Well, international. Mm-hmm. She absolutely is. But, Skip, everywhere Tom Brady goes, praise is heaped upon him. He goes to the Derby. He goes to the Met Gala. He goes to all these functions. It's Mr. Brady this, Mr. Brady that. And he goes to work. Tommy, get your ass over here. Run that play again.
I don't think it's Tommy. I think it's Tom or just Brady.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, get your ass over here and run this play again. Mm-hmm. Skip, this is baffling to me. And people are, and am I surprised? I'm very surprised. Is Tom okay with it? I don't believe he's okay with it, but I believe he's accepted the fact because it comes along with winning. Hmm. You see, Skip, we say this, winning is a great deodorant for a lot of things. Mm-hmm. Players, coaches will accept a lot if you win.
Yep.
It's hard. The whole thing about being a special is to get treatment, Skip. Mm-hmm. You know, on the little scale, get a little bump in the, you know, line. Okay, we see what we can do for you, Mr. Sharp. Get a special table, all that. I know Skip, you know. Well, Skip already got, Mr. Bayless already has that table. I'm like, all right, I'll come next week. You know, he'd already. But anyway, Skip, I would be upset. Hmm. I got all this, and my job, but I can't even get a personal parking spot at the job. I don't get anything. So what benefit do I get?
You don't have a parking spot?
No. Hmm.
I think he's got a parking spot.
Mm. You know what?
You gotta get, you know.
So it might be old Black Range back to your spot tomorrow.
Front row.
You park too far down. Oh,
I get a spot only because I get here at 4 o'clock, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Fine. Everybody gets a spot because nobody's here.
Yeah, true. Yeah. Yeah. I'm gonna pretend it's my own.
So I think Shannon Sharp just paid Tom Brady a compliment. I think.
Yeah.
And it could be a first.
No, yeah, he should.
Right?
Yeah, he should get some perks.
I think that Shannon Sharp might be actually seeing the light on Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. Do you understand that Tom Brady is now going into his 20th football season? And I'm going to say for about 18 of those years, he is allowed Bill Belichick to get away with treating him like just another player.
Yeah.
Because I don't think any quarterback, maybe in the history of this league, would have over that long an expanse of time after that many Super Bowls allowed the head coach to treat him the way Belichick continues to this day to treat Tom Brady.
It might be a marriage they still together for the sake of the kids.
Okay.
And the kids happen to be Super Bowls.
They are. They got
those are the kids, Skip, baby.
A lot we of just, kids.
Yeah,
can't
we
separate.
Just together for the kids. Once the kids get grown, which they start winning, somebody gonna be gone.
So true.
They got 9 kids. 6 of them are really good kids.
Exactly.
3 of them are they're okay kids, but they're not, you know, achievers.
Right. Exactly.
Life. Okay. So the point is that Tom Brady, for 20 years, has allowed Mr. Kraft, as in Robert Kraft, to get away with paying him far less than what he is worth on the open market, because Tom Brady gets it and knows that letting Belichick do that and Kraft do that is not just good for the football team, it's great for the football team right. because it actually is the foundation of the football team. Mm-hmm. The ability of the coach to go coach the quarterback just as hard as he coaches the backup tight end is essential to a locker room that just stays like this, mm-hmm. where the presiding, prevailing voice belongs to that guy,
yes,
Belichick.
Absolutely.
So there's never a clash. There's never a public or private clash where Tom Brady says, what are you talking about in front of the team?
Right.
They never see the quarterback cross the coach,
right.
question the coach. Mm-hmm. Maybe he does behind very closed doors in a private meeting, but not in front of the team.
Right.
Because I think Tom Brady was taught by his father, Tom, he's actually a senior, mm-hmm. that look, the coach prevails. He
right.
has the last word,
right.
and he's the ultimate authority
right.
figure. And I think Tom, at age 42, is still looking up to the coach saying, yeah, I get it. I have to do it his way to a point. When I'm actually running the play, I do it my way.
Right.
I get to call the audible. Mm-hmm. I get to pick the open receiver.
Right.
But in the big picture, in the big scheme, he runs the football team because I know that's the only way we're going to win and get back
right.
to more Super Bowls.
Right.
right?
But I've, in all my years, I played 14 years, and John was obviously the best quarterback I played with, superstar quarterback.
John Elway.
And I never heard a coach, even Dan, they didn't not
Dan Reeves.
Yeah. Not in front of the team.
Yeah.
Now, I'm sure there were discussions behind mm-hmm. closed doors. Absolutely. Mike Shanahan. I'm sure there were discussions behind closed doors. But a quarterback like that you would chew him out in front of? Never. I've never heard a coach chew out a player of that caliber in front of the team. Mm-hmm. Never.
What has Chad Johnson told us on this show, that he was then Chad Ochocinco? His first camp day, they went in for a film session, and the first film came on was the playoff loss. I think it was they had lost to the Jets the mm-hmm. year before. And Belichick throws that tape right on for the first team meeting and just tears apart Tom Brady in front of the team. Just to send
that.
A message like, he's just another guy to me.
Skip,
we're starting over.
Man, there's nothing like, Skip, when they put that tape on and it's like, 84, what are you thinking on this play? Mm. Everybody watching.
Yep.
Bro, you couldn't, you... Hmm. Can you imagine Tom Brady? Tom Brady, like, hold on, I got all the MVPs. I got Super Bowl rings. Are you doing this in front of...
That's like what
Skip, a lot of people, a lot of players couldn't handle that.
Oh. Hmm.
Not that accomplished. Now, you're trying to build your way up through the ranks. You will tolerate, you will stomach a lot of things. But once you reach a certain level, I think I like a lot about Tom Brady. But I think the thing is that one of the things that I love more is that he's coachable. Everybody say they want to be coached. Well, I want to be coached. Really? Do you really want to be coached?
Mm.
Or do you want to be coddled? Because those are two different things.
Yep.
Coach Belichick still coaches Tom Brady. We might not like, you coach him like that, but coach says, look at the results I've gotten.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Secretariat, I think I could have run the Derby on Secretariat's back. Mm-hmm. Ron Turcotte had that luxury.
He did.
But I do believe I could have run
on I don't think you're exaggerating.
I think
you would have gotten home first.
What a sight that would have been.
I might have been a little heavy. Secretariat, by the way, I got to get there first because I got to get your ass off my back. But anyway, Skip, that's unbelievable. Can you imagine that, Skip?
Do you know what Aaron Rodgers would have done 10 years ago?
My goodness.
10 years ago to Bill Belichick? I'm out.
You think so?
It's either him or me. He'd march up to Daddy's office, him or me. Which one is it, Mr. Kraft?
And Mr. Kraft's like, well, you already got 5 Super Bowls in your first 6 years. Mm. All right, coach, back off him.
Mm-hmm.
Remember all the drama, too? Remember when his trainer was trying to travel and they
But that was one of the things, Skip. He's like, you know, no, I'm not making no special concessions. You know what? As a matter of fact, we're going to revoke your access.
Mm.
Because no one else. I think a lot of this has to do with Coach Belichick says that if I let this slide with him, then somebody else was going to come with something else and want to get that slide there. And then the next thing you know, we got a slip and slide all over the place.
Mm.
So he's like, okay, we got one set of rules.
Yep.
This is the time that we arrive. Tom, you don't get to arrive 5 minutes late.
Nope.
This is it. We got meeting. We got practice. We got this.
So you're acknowledging the unsung hero to all the Patriots dynasty is number 12, not that guy with the hoodie on, right?
You gave some good Tom Brady love
you did.
Today.
What?
I'm going to remember love. This. I like the coach.
Okay, if they're the Jackson 5, Coach Belichick, Michael.
Yeah,
he the one everybody coming to see.
I'm going to remember
this. Brady,
Skip.
Tito?
Nah, he ain't Tito. Jermaine.
We're moving on.
Nah, he's Barlin. No mercy.
Now, players are still reacting to the retirement of Andrew Luck over the weekend. And yesterday, Tom Brady defended Luck's decision to retire early and complimented him on a great career. Take a listen.
You know, with his life, everyone has the right to choose what they want to do. He had a great career, and he was a great player. Everybody wishes, you know, they could be healthy all the time. You know, it's a contact sport, and he's certainly had his fair share of injuries. So, you know, guys retire at different times.
We're now joined by Tom Brady's number one fan, Rob Parker.
Rob, that's Skip Bayless.
Skip,
I know you were, I mean, you didn't want anybody to get hurt, but I mean, you looked at this as an opportunity for Tom Brady, right? In the AFC?
It's my turn.
Either way.
Go ahead.
Rob, I'm glad you're here, but I do want to start with Skip on this one. What do Brady's quotes tell you?
I loved what Tom Brady said because he spoke without passion. It was dispassionate. And it was without sympathy. He just basically laid it on the line. We didn't hear all the quotes, but it goes on into explaining just what this is. It's a tough game that you played. And that season is a long, hard, he called it a marathon of a grind. And it's both physical and emotional because there are many ups and many downs.
Right.
And lots of times there feel like there are more downs than ups, right?
Yes.
There are days you walk in back into that locker room and you feel like it's just, it's devastation, like it's over. And you have to suck it up and play through it and fight through it. And this is what I don't understand. I think there's a part of Tom Brady that sits back and says, okay, so he just finally said, I just can't do this anymore, both physically and emotionally. I just can't do it. Tom's fine with that. He's seen a whole lot of players come and go. But here's a Tom Brady who's 42 years of age, and he's hearing Aaron Rodgers say, you know, we should feel sorry for Andrew Luck. We should celebrate him. But nobody celebrates the fact that Brady looks, to me, better than ever at age 42. He says he's healthier than he's ever been at age 42. He says he's as excited as he's ever been to play football at age 42. Yet nobody talks about it. Nobody's amazed by it. They're just numb to it. And most people, including you two, are just sick and tired of Tom Brady and the Patriots winning.
You know what? But let me tell you what they did do. People were so appalled. They were so upset that Tom Brady got injured, they changed the rules. They changed the rules for Tom Brady.
Why didn't the rules save Andrew Luck from himself?
Skip, that's my point. Tom Brady has never taken the punishment in the pocket that Andrew Luck played. Now, once he broke the line of scrimmage, Andrew Luck was on his own. And he thought he could run over linebackers. He could run through defensive linemen.
He did.
And he was sadly mistaken.
He was.
And it took its toll on his body. It was an accumulation. It was a short accumulation. That's why I'm surprised Cam is last, because Cam has taken these kinds of shots.
Just remember, Andrew Luck in his first 5 years in this league was third in the league in turnovers.
Yes.
So it was both getting beat up and losing the football.
Exactly.
But
Go ahead.
Yeah. This was like typical Tom Brady. Captain Obvious, he's lame. You know, he just lost trying to get the trademark to be Tom Terrific. It should have been, he should have filed for Tom Terrible. Because when it comes to Tom Terrible, when it comes to talking about the things in the NFL, he's a zero. Shannon, a zero. He's the same guy who said he didn't know that the kneeling was going on. He's totally oblivious to that. Skip, do you remember that? Even though some players on his own team had knelt down. So he said he didn't know what was going on. Here, there's no compassion. This should be a brotherhood for quarterbacks. The whole notion, you don't have to give him a parade or tell him he's the greatest quarterback ever. But a 29-year-old with so much talent who's forced to leave the game, Tom has nothing to say.
He's not forced to. He chose
to leave. But because he can't do it anymore. But Tom doesn't say anything other than, well, you know, everybody has the right to do what they want. Well, thank you. I mean, we know that.
Yeah.
That's your answer to why a guy quits at 29 years old?
You're talking about a cold-blooded killer in a football game.
No, I just a guy
who this guy
a
is.
Guy who's so wrapped up in himself, and even later
he's
on,
wrapped up in winning Super Bowls.
Wrapped up in himself, even later on in that quote you're talking about, he starts talking about him and his support system and his trainer and all that.
Yep.
Nobody wants to hear that.
Okay.
All you have to do is talk about for 1 minute Your contemporary, mm-mm, a guy who is forced out of the game because he's been beat up and has all these injuries. All Tom Brady has to say is, man, what a tough game this is. I've been fortunate to survive, but this is what most guys go through, and I feel for him. I wish that this guy could still play.
I love competing against him.
Nope. This is a guy who was in my way in the AFC, who's now not there.
What happened he doesn't mention times any Andrew of that. Luck ran into Brady and Belichick?
It's still the idea that it's competition, though.
He stunk it up. Right. He played his worst playoff game, and he was 4-4 in the playoffs, at Foxborough on the night of Deflategate. Mm-hmm. And all the attention went on to, was Tom Brady cheating when with legally inflated footballs in the second half? Brady just threw a party on them. He was extraordinary because he had an extraordinary run. And then he went and beat Seattle in the Super Bowl, but nobody noticed. Andrew Luck was awful in that game.
Oh, he was terrible. Look, it could have been an underinflated football. Look, the Patriots could have played with a bowling ball. Mm-hmm. They were going to beat the Colts. They were just a better team. And once it started rolling in the playoffs, it gets out of hand.
45-7.
Yeah, it got out of hand in a hurry. Skip, Tom should knock on wood. He's been very fortunate. He's suffered one injury. It knocked him out for the entire season. Mm-hmm. But he hasn't had the ticky-tack, the nicky-knack injury, Skip, that keep him out for a game here or two games there. Okay. He's been very fortunate with that.
Is it possible that he's doing something no one will ever do again, which is play at a high level at age 42 at quarterback?
Would you say this? The Super Bowl was a high level? Did he play at a high level in the Super Bowl?
No.
I thought he was awful in the Super Bowl.
He made one throw. He didn't play at a high level, Skip.
He was bad.
He completed 5 straight passes, and it was the game-winning
Why didn't they give him the MVP, Skip?
I sat right here the next day and said he deserved the MVP.
No, he didn't.
Julian Edelman catching balls in the first
half? I don't know if somebody will play till they're 42. But I believe guys will play better longer for the simple way the way the game is constructed. Mm-hmm. It's constructed to take care of the quarterback. You can't punish him. Mm-hmm. I talked to a lot of guys at the hall, we could have played two until we're 40s if we'd had those kinds of protections.
Okay, but he does get rid of the ball faster than anybody does. And
that's the dink and dunk. That's all he does
now.
It's
not dinking and dunking. He throws it down the field when necessary. Mm-hmm. But the point is, he and his trainer, Alex Guerrero, have found something they call pliability. Mm-hmm. He's eating avocado ice cream. And you guys mostly scoff and make fun of all of
is
that.
Is that what it is, Skip, or is there something else that we might find out later? I'm asking.
Does he look like he's a product of something else?
I'm just asking you.
By the way, he dropped about 15 pounds.
I'm asking you. I don't know. Is it really avocado ice cream that makes the difference?
I don't know.
Shannon, you play football. Is that what it is?
I don't lead avocados.
Care of himself.
Okay. So really? Andrew Luck decided to call it a day at 29. And nobody forced him to, and I'm knocking on wood for him. God bless him that he heals up, but nobody forced him out. It's a hard game. He made $122 million over 7 years. That's a lot of money to make for going 4-4 in the postseason and never quite living up to being either the next Elway or the next Peyton Manning.
But Skip,
couldn't live up.
So we're going to say the man's career is a bust after 7 years?
I didn't say it's a bust, but it was a disappointment.
No,
given his expectations,
True.
Right?
But Skip, 7 years in, he's 4-4 in the playoffs, had won a couple of division titles. He'd missed a season. Look, I don't know if we ever saw Andrew Luck at his maximum potential because he was hurt. Because when he came in the league, when he was totally healthy, they did a terrible job of surrounding him with protectors. His offensive line was terrible. And he took punishment. And when he broke out of the pocket, Skip, he didn't understand how to get down. He didn't know when the journey was over.
His mentality was as terrible as his offensive line.
Yes. And it wrecked his body. But Skip, for me, I don't think he was looking back like, you know what? I made $122 million. I'm good. He could have easily said, I got another 60 coming. I can stay on the roster this year.
I could act like Brad.
And no problem. But he says, you know what? I'm Andrew Luck. I built something. I don't want to do anything to distract from that. I'm good.
He has integrity because he could have easily done that, right?
Wow, $122 million is pretty – that'll buy a lot of integrity.
He earned that. Yeah. Mm. You make it seem like he didn't do anything. He earned that money.
Now, I'm going to ask one question. We were talking about this on the radio. Was Franco Harris ahead of his time or knew something about running out of bounds, Skip? He was criticized during, like he was always not trying to get an extra yard or two. But as I looked down, and it came up because of all the injuries and not being able to get out of bounds and doing the right thing. Was he just way ahead of his time, or was, or you were covering football then?
I don't know. Emmitt Smith made it, he extended his career running out of bounds like crazy.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah. As a look, if you play this game, Skip, you're playing it tough.
Yeah.
Ain't trying to be no hero. Look, there have been times that I need to get that yard. I'm gonna dip my shoulder.
Right.
But there are gonna be times that I'm gonna know, hey, I'm gonna throw that blink on, and get on up out of bounds. Mm-hmm.
Rob, good to have you today.
Always.
Always nice to see you. One of college football's all-time great coaches called Trevor Lawrence, the best college football quarterback ever.
Yeah,
do you guys agree? We'll tackle that next. No mercy. Clemson's starting quarterback Trevor Lawrence is building quite the resume. Lawrence capped off an impressive freshman year by throwing 3 touchdowns and a dominant win over Alabama in the college football playoff title game last season. And now the buzz is already getting louder for the Heisman candidate this year. Fox college football analyst and one of the game's all-time great coaches, Urban Meyer, called Lawrence the best quarterback in college football ever this past weekend when discussing Clemson's chances at a repeat. So, Shannon, do you agree that Trevor Lawrence is the GOAT?
Hell no. He is not even the best Clemson quarterback. Did Deshaun Watson not go to Clemson, Skip? Did he forget that Deshaun Watson won a Heisman Trophy, put up almost 1,000 yards against St. Nick's defense?
He did.
I can see if it's his junior year, Skip, he's got 2 or 3 of these national championships, he's got a Heisman Trophy, then I might look at Eric and say, Urban, you know what? You were on to something. Yeah, he is. But Cam Newton, did he forget what Cam Newton did, Skip? Really 30 good. Passing touchdown, 20 rushing touchdown, won a Heisman, undefeated.
And he also won a championship at Blinn Junior College. So that counts also to me.
Did Vince Young not play, Skip? Did we forget? Vince Young might have had the greatest performance in the championship game in history.
And one that was a one-year wonder thing that he just carried them to the championship.
But he was 30-2. The year before in the Rose Bowl, remember what he did in Michigan?
I do.
That was his coming out because I didn't really know who Vince Young was.
Yep.
And then he beat a loaded USC team. Mm-hmm. Matt Leinart, Reggie Bush, Lindell White was on the offense.
Loaded.
Brian Cushing, Clay Matthews Jr., and Ray Maliuga. Two of those guys went in the first round. Maliuga was in the second round.
Yep.
Two of those guys were first round picks. One of those guys went in the second round. And Vince Young toppled that team.
Yep.
Look, Skip, the kid, he didn't start the entire season because the guy ended up transferring. But he came in and he had an unbelievable season. Skip, I'm not trying to diminish the guy, but to say the guy is already the greatest college quarterback, hell, the guy he coached down in Florida.
Yeah.
He's pretty good.
I mean, what am I missing?
I wish that Urban had a little more opportunity to go a little deeper into this and explain what is his criteria, what's his definition of greatest college quarterback ever, because clearly Trevor Lawrence is off to the greatest start ever, because how can you beat what he just, as a true freshman, now he didn't start until September 29th, but once he got into the lineup and played the last, 11 starts, so he started 11 games, and as a true freshman, he was the star of the national championship game.
Yes.
Okay, so he's off to the races.
Yes.
Okay, what if he wins 2 more national championships? It's possible.
Okay.
And what if he wins the next 2 Heismans? Okay. Well, then I think we'd say game over, right?
No, Skip. If he does that, he's the greatest college player ever. Forget quarterback. Okay. Player ever.
So he's on that arc already.
Yes.
And again, I don't know if Urban was projecting him into pro football, because the greatest projection I ever saw in college football was the quarterback you played with, John Elway.
Yeah.
When I watched him at Stanford, I said, that's it. But he was prototype.
Right.
What was John, 6'4"-ish?
Yeah, about 6'3 and a half, 6'4".
6'4 and 225-ish, right?
Yeah.
So Trevor Lawrence is 6'5", 220. So he projects big-time first overall pick in the NFL draft.
Yes.
So are we doing projection on college to pro?
Right.
Because you might be onto something.
Right.
Trevor Lawrence might just be the next
it
guy, and because we've just gone through Little Baker and Little Kyler, and they weren't prototype, right?
6'5".
Like Tom Brady is 6'4".
Right.
So, you know, he was up.
But if you just talk about one season, Skip, it's hard to say, but look at Cam's season. Tim Tebow had an unbelievable college career. Mm-hmm. Vince Young had an unbelievable.
He did.
He only played, started.
By the way, our other guy, Matt Leinart, we got to throw him in the mix because remember, his team won two national championships.
Right.
One was by vote, but one was in the game. And then he
played for a third.
Yeah, yeah. They played for a third and lost to the all-time greatest championship game performance in Vince Young.
Right.
Okay?
And
Matt also won Heisman, obviously.
Now, if he goes out and you know, like you said, he wins a couple of these things, but right now, I'm not putting him ahead of Deshaun. Mm. Did they not see what Deshaun did in championship games, Skip? Yeah. Did they? I'm talking about back-to-back.
So are we talking about achievement or potential?
Right.
Are we?
I'm with you, Skip. I wish they would have followed up. Urban, are you saying he's the best college quarterback ever now?
We're talking about just your eye test?
Eye test, right.
If it's eye test, you might be onto something.
I mean, you can't make that. I mean, after one, who thought Michael Jordan, after the shot, well, he's going to be the greatest college player, basketball player ever?
Mm-mm. Remember, he stayed for two more years.
Yes, and he never got. So what happens, Skip, if he doesn't get back to the national championship game? Is he still the greatest college quarterback ever?
No, I don't think so.
No.
But I don't know what are your criteria? Are you projecting him to be a great pro quarterback?
Right.
Because when I watched John Elway at Stanford, I was like, whoa, this is the next guy. But guess what his college teams win?
They
started 3 years. They go 6-5, 4-7, 5-6.
And he was the number one. He was the highest rated player ever graded by.
Ever graded and could have played professional baseball for the New York Yankees.
Skip, did Peyton Manning play college? I just need to know. Did he go straight from high school?
Okay. He struggled. He didn't have achievements because he couldn't beat Florida.
He didn't win a national championship.
Yeah.
But it's hard to say he wasn't a great college quarterback.
Yeah. Okay. No, he was obviously great. Are we doing achievements?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So I just, like right now, I still got Deshaun Watson ranked ahead of him because Deshaun Watson has a championship and he played for another. He was, a couple of minutes away from being a two-time national champ. Mm-hmm. But what he did in that game, Trevor Lawrence was unbelievable. And that's not to take anything away. In the playoff games, he averaged almost 340 yards passing and had six touchdowns with no picks.
Yep.
But Deshaun Watson, next to Vince Young, that was the greatest championship game performance I had ever seen. And I go back watching a lot of them.
You know what?
All eyes are going to be on him.
Given the degree of difficulty against Nick Saban's defenses twice in a row, mm-hmm. You cannot top what Deshaun did. I know he lost the first one, but he won the second one.
Yeah.
Thanks to little Hunter Renfrow.
How about that guy?
Yeah, not bad.
I love his storyline. Mm-hmm. It's been fun to see as well.
Yep.
There's some good potential there.
What, it took him in, the third round with the Raiders? Third or fourth?
Was it three or four? I don't know where he went, but I'm just loving him on Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
He is going to contribute
immediately. He's been fun
to see. Tonight, more Hard Knocks.
Georgia Tech. Yeah, we'll get to see them. They open Thursday. We'll get to see Trevor Lawrence back in action. And hey, I'm glad Urban's on our team this year. We're going to hear some good stuff from him throughout the college football season. No
mercy. Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Join us again at the same time tomorrow morning, 9:30 Eastern. We'll see you then. Facts, sports, one of one.